2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says, "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." What a wonderful thing for us to think about every first day of the week, the death of Jesus Christ. When you stop to consider the death of Jesus Christ, it is that ultimate of event in history that changed the lives of every person who believe and are obedient to His teaching. How do you react to death? You might react in a number of ways. In war, there may be a sense that we would react to the death of the enemy with joy. If it's the death of a loved one, we would react to that death with great mourning and sadness. We might react to the death of someone that was killed and was innocent, and we might be very angry. There might be the death of someone and we're confused. We're not sure. I would like to consider this morning about reacting to the death of Jesus Christ and how we have reacted to that. It's very important. I remember in the text that Jesus is brought before Pilate. And Pilate simply asked the question, "What shall I do with this Jesus, the King of the Jews?" And there was all of this screaming and hollering and loud voices saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And yet Pilate responded and said, But what evil has he done?" Pilate recognized that Jesus was innocent. But the response was still, "Crucify him!" And Pilate gave in. And he delivered Jesus to be scourged. He was mistreated. He was abused. And he was crucified. And he was buried. How do we react to that death? Well, I think there's some ways we should not react. We should not react like the Jews did. We should not react hating Jesus. But maybe there are those who would know of this event and they would say, "Good, I'm glad they killed him." Because that's how people were reacting. They were envious of him. They were cruel. We shouldn't react like the Romans did. The Romans treated him as a criminal. Pilate, while recognizing the innocence of Jesus, he did absolutely nothing to deliver an innocent man. There was no justice in Pilate. There was no concern for right and wrong. He was only concerned about his position. He was only concerned that there might be a riot and that Rome might come down on him heavy. So he gave in to riotous people. He gave in to people that were murderous. The soldiers mocked Jesus. They struck him. They laughed at him. We shouldn't react the way the Romans did. Neither should we react the way the Gentiles did when they heard about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, We find there that Paul says, "For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." What completely different ends of the spectrum. Here are some people that hear about a Jew, Jesus of Nazareth, who claims to be the Son of God. He is put to death for his claim. And there are people that think, that's great. Then there's other people over here that think, this is foolishness. This is crazy. And then on the extreme opposite end of that, there are people that believe that that's salvation. How could there be such a plethora of opinions? We just got through with an election. Are there differences in opinion? What a democracy, a republic, a United States of America should be? There's always differences of opinion on every single solitary thing. The one thing that we all agree on. This is the one thing we all agree on. We all disagree. The same is true about Jesus. Really, we should not react with hatred toward anyone. I remember our Lord in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. He talked about loving our enemies. He talked about going the extra mile with those that make us do something. I think that it's important for us that we not blame all Jews for what some Jews did. We should not blame all Romans for what some Romans did. We can become very prejudicial when we look at even the death of our Lord and whose fault it was and who we are to blame. But what does God want us to see? How does God want us to react to the death of our Lord? Well, I think certainly He wants us to see how terrible sin is. You see, the death of Jesus on the cross, the ultimate of sin. In that, He was treated so unfairly, so unjust. He was treated cruelly. I mean, certainly, people that have any kind of feeling in them at all could read this story and see that Jesus was so inhumanely treated. Surely anybody could see that. But it was through the death of Jesus that God showed the world just how bad we have gotten. That we would take an innocent man who performed miracles, who went about doing good, who fed the hungry, he healed the blind, he raised the dead. And what was his reward? They put him on a cross and made him suffer. You see, when we look at that, we see how ugly sin is. Now, lest we forget, sin is that small word that has tremendous consequences. Romans chapter 6, Paul said, "For the wages of sin is death." You see, there was great sin in the world, and what happened? Jesus died. Jesus died. May I suggest to us that He also wants us to see how much God loves us. Isn't it heartrending for us to read the old stories? And while Jesus was hanging up on the cross, He had the wherewithal, state of mind, consciousness, but most importantly, He had the heart, He had the love to say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. May I suggest to us that God loves us all. He loved those Jews that shouted, "Crucify him!" He loved those Romans that took the nail and drove it into his hands. He loved the man that took the scourge and beat Jesus mercilessly. And he loves me. And we see that at the cross. We see within all of this a particular goal. The goal is that God wants more children. And when we read in the scriptures, like in Ephesians chapter 1, we read about the adoption of sons. In the book of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul, he again refers to this adoption that we can have in Christ. And he says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." You see, Jesus Christ was His only begotten Son. And before the foundations of the earth, God so designed it that He would create man. Man would sin. He knew that. He would provide a Savior so that those who believe in Him wouldn't perish, but they would come and they would receive redemption through the cross, through the blood, to become His children. You see, God went through a whole lot so that we could be called His children. What a blessing it is that we can come together in this place. And we can think about that great, horrific day. And now we are children of God because of that day. What a beautiful thing when Ethan and Elizabeth were baptized into Christ recently. What a beautiful day when each and every person makes up their mind to become a child of God. And how do you look at the death of Jesus now? It's still horrific. It goes down in infamy. But it was a day of blessing to us. And God wants you to see that. When we stop to consider, God wants us to see His awesome power. You know, throughout this great book, this major portion of this book is the old law, the Mosaic law, Genesis to Malachi. And all of that is intricate detail of how Jews were to live. It governed every aspect of their life, including government. And yet throughout all of this, you see just law after law after law about the sacrificing of animals. And yet the book of Hebrews chapter 10 defines it very simply and says that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away men's sins. Throughout all of that tremendous amount of blood that was shed, just on the day that King Solomon, he made sacrifices unto God for the beginning of the temple that was finished, there were so many animals that were offered that day that they lost count as to how many. There were thousands and thousands of bulls, of sheep, that were put to death. Why? For the sins of all mankind. And yet not one drop of that forgave one sin until that infamous day. When Jesus died on the cross, then going back, all of that blood that was shed in the patriarchal times of Abraham to the Mosaical times of Moses, all of that blood then became effective because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and every sin through those sacrifices were forgiven. The cross, God wants you to see His great and awesome power. The Scripture teaches us that it wasn't just one sin that was forgiven, that all sins for all men by faith, through their service and through their sacrifice, all of it was forgiven. All of it. When Lisa Williams was baptized into Jesus Christ, every sin that that woman had committed all of her life was washed away. Every sin that we commit, the blood of Jesus forgives. That's powerful. It gives us hope of life. Death ruled. Death reigned before Jesus died. When Jesus died, He gave us the hope of life. We discussed this today in the high school class, and it's important for us to repeat it now. When we consider the death of Jesus on the cross, what a horrific day that was. But yes, what a wonderful day that was. Because the price for our sins was paid by the blood of the Son of God. But had Jesus just died and offered that same blood, we would still be lost without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, before Jesus ever came to the earth, it was prophesied about all of this happening, including the resurrection. So had Jesus, having come to the earth, claiming to be the Son of God, claiming He would die for our sins, claiming He would raise from the dead, had He just died and that was the end of the story, we would have no hope of life. When we die, the wages of sin would be eternal death. But because of the resurrection, the resurrection was the miraculous stamp of approval of God that the one that gave His life is God, and that what He shed was powerful, and what it forgave was all sins. And He proved it by raising from the dead. But that raising from the dead means that when I die and when you die, you will be raised too. Being baptized into Jesus Christ is symbolic of all that we've just said. In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul talks about that when we are buried with Him in baptism into His death, that's figurative. But we must see what is happening. The very fact that we are baptized into His death, it's in death that Jesus shed His blood. And it is His blood that washes away our sins. But when we baptize someone, we don't just leave them in the water and let them drown. We have to bring them back up. Just as Jesus raised from the dead, we are raised up to walk in newness of life, having every sin forgiven. We might figuratively say that when you come up out of that water, all your sins are left in the water. That's some dirty water. But you've been resurrected to walk in newness of life, to be a child of God. And that cross, that death, is powerful to you. It is powerful to me. To some people, it's foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. Well, the question would be, how have I reacted? We've got enough people here that I'm sure there are many different reactions to what we've just said. To the old story called the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, whether you know it or not, you have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, how will you react to that? Well, will you truly die to sin? You see, the intended purpose for this being recorded by the Holy Spirit is for you to read this and to see the inhumaneness of the cruelty of the death of Jesus, but the purpose of His death. He took my place. He died for me. So my reaction to that is what? In the book of Romans, chapter 6, that we made reference to a moment ago, the Apostle Paul, he makes it very, very clear. He says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? And then he begins in verse 3 to talk about what we just explained a while ago about being baptized into Christ. What does the death of Jesus on the cross, what does it say to you this morning? It should say to you, it should say to me, I need to die to sin. I need to stop sinning. I need to change my life. Have you? You know, we can look at the cross and we can take it very lightly. We can think about the cross and our hearts are so hardened it doesn't touch us at all. In Hebrews chapter 6, the writer there talks about crucifying the Son of God again. Think about that. In the chapter of Hebrews 6, he talks about the person that has been enlightened, that has tasted the heavenly gift. And I think contextually it talks about the person that becomes a Christian. And then fallen away again. They've fallen away. They've left it. They've stopped caring about right and wrong. They've gone back to sin. The text says it's the same as if you crucified the Son of God again. Can you imagine having the blood upon your hands of having killed the Son of God? Such was the case of the people in Acts chapter 2. When Peter and the apostles said, you crucified the Son of God. You are murderers. They were convicted in the heart. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They wanted to be forgiven. Now imagine after having been forgiven that, to go back into the world and live to the flesh and kill him again. Do we not understand, brethren, when we get to the point as a child of God that we no longer care what we do, when we do it, where we go, or what we say? You are guilty of killing Jesus again. We must take up our cross daily. Jesus did not die on the cross for us to be serious about worshiping God once every week or two or a month or so. It's a life-changing event. Put yourself in 30 AD. You're standing there at Calvary. And you're looking at the cross and you see the soldiers drive the nails in his hands. You witness the soldier driving the nail into his feet. You witness the seven sayings that Jesus is recorded of saying. You see all of that. And you see him die. And you see the Roman soldier take his spear and stab it into his side. And you see all of the blood that is profusely coming off of his body. And then you hear him say, "It is finished." And he dies. Wouldn't that not change your life? Wouldn't that be, as we call it, a life moment? Have we not all been to the cross by faith? Have we not all by faith stood there and seen what he did for me? Why is it such a challenge for us to live for him every day? Is it an inconvenience? Are you too busy? Did it not touch your heart and your soul? Did it? For now, we really live. If you stand firm in the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 8. Paul again says, "We were dead in our transgressions, made alive together in Christ." Isn't it past time that we stop living as Christians like we are dead? Live your life for him. Live your life not for this world, not for stuff, not for things. Because stuff and things didn't die for you. Stuff and things didn't forgive you. Jesus did. And of all people upon this planet, even here in Anderson, Alabama, as we assemble here in this place, we are here to honor and give glory to God who loves us and knows us personally. And one day, He's going to come back. And one day, we will stand before Him. And one day, we will give an account of everything that we've done in our lives. And in that day, and in that hour, and in that moment, it won't make a bit of difference what else you did in this old world. Because all your stuff and all of our things is going to go up in smoke, and there won't be anything but us before God. So this morning, how are you going to react? Do you believe in Him? You willing to change your life and confess Him? To be baptized into Christ? You going to live for Him? We began with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. And in concluding, Paul says again, "For the love of Christ controls us." That's what we see on the cross. The love of God. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And He died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. Every first day of the week, we come together as God's people to remember the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And brethren, if all you're doing is eating a piece of cracker and drinking some grape juice, you have missed the point. Let it change your life. Stop living for yourself. Live for Him. Because He died and He lives for you. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
Someday you'll stand at the bar.